Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this very precious day that you've made like no other, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, for our guests driving from Carlsbad, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, that we were able to host baptism, dear Jesus, live so that those can feel a part of this church, this special union between those who are baptized and rose again, dear Jesus, in your glory, dear Lord, dying to self, dear Jesus. And what that means, dear Lord, as we commune together as a family, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for an opportunity again to sup with you and sup with one another, dear Lord, as Sandy prepares and we will prepare our hearts to receive your word on this afternoon, dear Jesus. We pray for Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, as you speak to him, dear Jesus. Let our hearts be bowed and receive you in this word. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. So we are going to sign these, right? So
these are the baptism certificates.
You want to call your name, please.
I am, no, I'm going to sign it first, then I'm going to say.
Okay.
Then it's... It was beautiful. I love baptism. I'm glad we don't have a little pool in the church. Ooh. I love the beach.
Yeah.
All right. This first baptism is certificate of baptism. This certified that Leslie Flores has been baptized in accordance to the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by Soldiers for Christ Global Church.
Ah! Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
On this 20th day, March 21st in Long Beach, California, Leslie Flores.
Amen, Leslie!
Thank you, Pastor.
I want to see your hair. See that nice hair?
Thank you.
Oh, here's your envelope. So. Okay.
Mother-in-law.
Now this is my favorite name ever. Her first name is Sensational and her last name is Unique.
Yeah.
And words mean a lot. Amen. In Hebrew. So I want to thank her and her daughter for being at the baptism. Sensational.
Being
that is your baptism certificate.
Yeah.
And then is this her daughter?
Yes.
Zoe?
Yes.
All right.
Awesome family.
Yes. Beautiful family.
They came down from Pasadena to get baptized.
Originally from Georgia. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so Zoe Emerald.
Zoe Emerald Seaborn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Zoe!
Beautiful name. You got to say that. And then my little homie, Ruben Luna.
All right, Ruben! Ruben! Amen! Come on, Ruben!
I like when we ride, when I catch you and we get to ride together, Ruben, I enjoy our conversations.
Thank you, man. God bless you, Ruben.
Okay, you gotta come get it so they see you. Who has a shinier head than Pastor Sandy?
Ruben!
Only guy I know. All right. God bless you, brother. All right. Is that all of them?
That's it, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Well, let's get going.
Amen.
I want to say hello to our family and all over the world on YouTube.
Yeah.
Canada and Africa. I'd be here all day trying to name all the names of countries that we're in right now. And that's all Jesus, because only Pastor Ben and Jesus knew about it. I want us to be in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Okay? So if you have a Bible, go to. Okay.
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 14.
Amen.
Okay.
I hear life over there.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to read until the Lord tells me to stop. But I want you guys to understand what's going on here today. There is a spiritual war going on. I know, well, this is God's war. And we have some strength and some capacity to do some things in this war, okay? The first thing we have is we have the Word of God. We have the responsibility of arming ourselves every day with the equipment that God has given us to fight in this war. Because you're not outside of the war. God is just he's the general, okay? You're not outside of the war, you're in the war, okay? Yeah. So that means Satan's gonna constantly be trying to attack you as well. And the easiest way to attack a Christian is getting them to a lazy point where they forget that they're at war. And the second way is to get them to not participate in the war.
Amen.
So if you get up and you say, well, I don't need to, the war is over. No, it's not over. And for some of us that pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on, even if you don't know what's going on.
Amen.
Okay. So I like to pray, and I like to pray in the Spirit, because I realize that the whole under the authority of one name, and that name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, okay? The whole universe, it listens when you say the name, it obeys when you say the name, and it better not try to not obey when you say the name.
Amen.
Okay, so you have to realize that you have this name of authority in your possession, right?
Yes.
Why did God give you his name? Because you're at war and you may need to be able to give some commandments with authority, okay? Because you can give all the commandments and they'll do you like they did that apostle. They say, Paul, we know. You know what I mean? Jesus, we know.
Who are you?
Well, who are you coming here talking about in the name of something else? We'll slap you around and toss you out, right? So we have to understand that the name of Jesus, and Satan is always trying to take the name of Jesus. Please, if you one of my African American, don't start getting caught into Black Hebrew Israelite and calling Yahudawah and all this stuff y'all be coming up with, which really isn't Hebrew.
Amen.
For somebody that speaks Hebrew, some of these names they come up with it's not even Jesus. Yeshua is his name, okay? Yes. And so don't add letters and all this stuff trying to be religious. Hello. Welcome.
Amen.
Miss you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're praying for you.
Amen.
All right. So I want you guys to know that you're a part of this war. What is war all about? The war started before you got here. You understand? And it's a spiritual war. You say, "Pumpy, oh, I don't know why God don't just do this." You don't even know what the rules are in the spirit realm. You ain't even been there.
Mm-hmm.
Just let God do what he's doing. He knows how long the war is going to last. He knows how long it takes to win it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And we want him to win it before his time, and he wants to win it perfectly.
Right.
Because he's got to get some things out of this earth, unrighteous people and unrighteous spirits out of this earth, before, okay, we can have a new heaven and a new earth, because there ain't be nothing, no junk in that. You understand? So I'm going to start reading here in Isaiah chapter 14, and I want you guys to understand this. When the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and again choose Israel and settle them in their own land, then strangers will join them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. God is just declaring he is going to choose the nation of Israel once again. It says, and the Lord will take them along and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them as an inheritance in the land of the Lord.
Yeah.
as male and female servants. They will take them as captors and will rule over them, rule over their oppressors. As it will be in the day when the Lord gives you, when the Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil, harsh service in which you have been enslaved. Now, he's talking to Israel because Israel is a chosen people. You understand? Israel has been chosen to do something.
Amen.
Jews are not unintelligent people. They're very intelligent people. But they can't understand the New Testament. That's weird to me. They can't understand basic concepts of a lamb dying and bringing them out of Egypt and Jesus being the Lamb of God. They can't understand that. That's too complicated. But in technology, they lead the world. So I'm telling you, somebody blinded them so that they could crucify Christ on behalf of what? The Gentile world, so he can save us, then get back to them and save them as well. Okay? So make sure that you are understanding you have no right to ever say, I hate a Jew.
Amen.
Or they crucified my Jesus. Just say thank you. Say thank you for being chosen. My Jewish friend told me, I wish God would choose somebody else sometime. Because they go through just as much harassment as anybody in the world, okay? So that's going to happen. Let's talk about the war. I'm going to go, I think I'm in verse 3. We'll be in that day. No, I'm in verse 4. That you will take up the taunts against the king of Babylon. You hear that? And it will be, verse 3, in that day when the Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil and harsh service in which you have been enslaved, that you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. This is the people are now going to speak directly to the king of Babylon. Who's the king of Babylon? Satan. You understand? The first Babylon that was created was a satanic move. The mystery Babylon that's coming is a satanic move. You understand? All based under the authority of Satan. What did the first one do? He took a hold of Nimrod and said, nobody's going to leave here. You're all going to stay here and worship one God, and we're going to build a tower for him. And so he started corrupting the star constellations and creating his own religion. And he kept everybody in one area. He ruled over them in Babylon. And it wasn't until God heard and said, let me go down and bring confusion to this thing. So he comes down and he divides the languages so they can't understand each other. So now the people have to separate, and they separate into many different areas of the world, nations and creeds. So I want you to understand the war that has happened and what is going on in the world. Okay. Now he says this, he says, that you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon, how the oppressor has ceased. Whew, this is the end of the tribulation. I just want you guys to know the beginning of the oppressors, the oppressor being ceased is the rapture. That's why I want the rapture. I want the rapture because I want to get the fight on. You understand? We've got to get out of the way for the heavyweights to come in.
Yeah.
We've been fighting this war, but it hasn't even gotten to the heavyweights. This is why I want the rapture to come, because I think we're going to find out the power of God in the rapture.
Yeah.
Not now. We're seeing what Jesus says, that time will be worse than any time in the history of mankind. Worse than World War I, World War II? Yes. There's a heavyweight fight coming.
Yeah.
I want to get out of the way because I want to sit in the audience and watch the heavyweights get, okay? Now watch. It says how the oppressor has ceased and how fury has ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers, which used to strike the people in fury with unceasing blows. I'm reading from another English American Standard, but I like this one for this here. Okay, and it says, which subdued nations in anger, unrestrained persecution. Is that what Satan's been doing? He's been controlling this world in anger and persecution. The whole world is now at rest and is quiet. They break forth into shouts of joy. This is all of us when we're back. You understand that? We're shouting joy because of what? The rapture has happened. The second coming has happened. We came behind Christ on horses of our own. We land on earth and the people are celebrating. Singing breaks out. Why? Because the oppressor is gone. Stay with me, you guys, because God wants me to show you something today so you'll see that an oppressor lives among the human race. And he's trying to act like God and mimic God in everything he does. Okay? Let's continue. It says, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into shouts of joy. Even the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since you were laid low, saying to Satan, no tree cutter comes against us. The men are trees. He said, the men are saying this, since you got cut down, nobody's come to cut us down. We're at peace now. You understand? It says, Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come. So you headed down to hell now. They're excited down there to meet you. It aroused for you the spirit of the dead, all the leaders of the earth. It rise all the kings of the nations from their throne. They will all respond and say to you, even you have been made weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp and your music and your harps have been brought down to Sheol, which is Hades. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you, and worms are your covering. This is Satan's new life for everything he's done, okay? And this is just the beginning of it, because he ain't even got to the fire yet. You understand? How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the dawn. Now, if you have a King James, they try to take Lucifer's name out of it. You know who wrote the NIV? Well, I think King James keeps the Lucifer in it. The NIV takes it out. This English version takes it out. But you got to remember, they took it out because Luciferians, Masons, don't believe that Lucifer and Satan are the same person. This is one of the deceptions of getting people to join. So they're telling you that Lucifer is a good guy who's trying to free mankind. And so they go and they join and they say, well, I'm a Christian. And then if you ask any of them, do you guys worship Lucifer? They'll say, not the one you think, because they know you think Lucifer is Satan. And he is. Okay? But that's part of the deception. Remember, this war includes deception. Can I say it again? Mm-hmm. This war includes deception. You're like a kid in this war. You understand? I'm always going to try to give you what? $1 for 10 pennies. I'm going to give you 10 pennies. You give me a dollar. I'm always going to try to give you an orange $4 bill. Because I know that you don't read your Bible and you don't know. And since you don't stay in your Bible, I know you're susceptible to what? Deception. But I got to figure out how to come at you. Because I can get your soul with just a little deception. Now, let's continue. Okay, how you have fallen from heaven, oh Lucifer, son of the dawn. It says you have been cut down to earth. You who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will rise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of the assembly, in the recess of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Isn't that some crazy brag? It's like you forgot you were created. Satan is not God. He's not a God. He was an angel that was created. So this is pretty arrogant. Did you forget I created you? Okay, I got something for you. Okay. It says, nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Hades, to hell, to the recess of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities? Who did not allow the prisoners to go home? All the kings of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb. But you have been cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch, clothed with the slain who are pierced with a sword, who go down to the stone of the pit like a trampled corpse. You will not be united with them in burial, because you have ruined your country. You have slain your people. May the offspring of evildoers not be mentioned forever. Who are the offsprings of evildoers? The Nephilim are the offsprings of evildoers. The fallen angels slept with women and began to have children, and those children became giants in the earth. And they existed in the earth at the time of Noah. And it's they became more and more impossible to take care of. They devoured all of the food, all of the animals, until they say they began to devour men and to drink their blood. And this was the Nephilim gene pool that was in the world, operating during the time of Noah, when God says, enough. We're going to get rid of the Nephilim, and we're going to get rid of evil men, because it's not all Nephilim fault. Because some people wake up with bad intentions. Mm-hmm. You understand? So let me finish where God wants me to finish. It says, you will be united with them in burial, because you have ruined your country and you have slain your people and your offspring. The evildoers will not be mentioned forever. Prepare for the sons a place of slaughter because of the iniquity of their fathers. So prepare a place for the sons of these people, a place of slaughter. So he's going to kill and get rid of every Nephilim gene. They must not arise and take possession of the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. Is that what they want? They want possession of the earth and to fill the earth with their own cities. They want Israel to worship them. And we don't understand, this is a spiritual war that's going on. And the prize of the spiritual war is human souls. So now you've got to realize there are demonic spirits on the earth who are influencing human beings to act and do things that they do against God, to make them lazy, to make them believe there's no war going on. Just relax and enjoy. Go to a movie and do whatever you do. But don't worry about the spiritual side of this. You know what I mean? You're only human. No, I'm a soldier in a war. I wake up, I arm myself each day because not only am I protecting me, I'm protecting the people around me with my prayer, with my armor, with my word of God. I'm protecting the people around me. I'm acting as a soldier each day. And if Christians act like a soldier each day, instead of acting like they're on vacation waiting for the rapture, we could get some things done.
Amen.
Don't want to witness. Because people might not like me no more. You know what I mean? Don't want to read because my favorite TV show's on. Imagine you're a general in the army and you walk in the barracks and there's a big battle going on outside and you see one of your majors watching Gilligan Island. You're like, what are you doing? There's a war going on out there. It's the last episode. Hold up. We have to understand. You understand what is going on here? Your life and the lives of people around you are at stake. I wish we could get that. Okay, I'm gonna put this away for a second, and I'm gonna go to the book of Enoch. Because the Lord wants you to get a clear understanding of this, okay? These beings that live on this earth. Now listen, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. There were Nephilim then, and he said there will be Nephilim now. Daniel chapter 2, verse 41 through 44 tells you they will, at the end, they will mingle themselves amongst the seeds of men. Meaning that some people that you see, that you think, like, I see my poor niece, she has the Rihanna book. It's like, it's a big, beautiful Rihanna book. And I'm like, does she know that Rihanna is a worshiper of Satan? At best, she's just a worshiper. At the most, she's a Nephilim pretending to be human. But we don't look at what God has shown us and take it serious, okay? So we allow these people to entertain us, right? We go to the store, we buy their albums, we bring them their movies, and we don't understand we have Nephilim living among us, okay? Let's continue. Okay, I'm in the book of Enoch. I'm in chapter 10, I'm on verse 2. It said, now listen to this, because God said this is very important. Go to Noah, he's telling the angel. Go to Noah and tell him, in my name, hide yourself. How is he going to hide himself in God's name? God said, this is very important. Go tell Noah to hide himself in my name. Don't hide yourself in your home. Don't dig a ditch and hide yourself. Hide yourself in my name. In the authority of God, Noah kept himself in righteousness, hiding himself each day in the relationship and presence of God. How was he hidden? They don't mess with righteous people. Why? Some say there was a hedge built around them because of their righteous behavior. Some say that demons can see who belongs to God and who doesn't. You understand? But you can hide yourself in God. He is our refuge. You understand? You are hiding yourself in Christ. When you spend time with Christ, when you're in your word, you're basically building walls of protection around yourself. You are hiding yourself in Christ. Why? Because the death angel wants to come and destroy you. Why? Because he knows you're guilty. Why are you guilty? Who here has killed somebody accidentally? All of you should raise your hands.
Yeah.
Who here has ever sinned in their life? Raise your hand. Everybody should raise their hand, because God says everyone has sinned, right?
Yeah.
So if you, now Jesus Christ died because of what? Sin. That means he died because of you. But you are guilty of what? The Bible says this, you're guilty of manslaughter. Everybody is under sin. Why? Because we've all sinned and Jesus died for sin, so we're all guilty of manslaughter. So God commands that all of us go to where? A city of refuge and stay there until the high priest dies. The city of refuge is Jesus. Don't we sing that? You are my refuge. You know why you sing it? Because there were six cities built for people who did manslaughter, and they could run and hide there, and they had to stay there and don't come out until the high priest dies. But our high priest can never die. So you can go in the city of refuge forever, even though you're guilty of manslaughter. You guys got to understand, hide yourself in God. You want to come outside of Christ and do things on your own? Look, anybody who lived in the city of refuge knew one thing. Inside the gate, I'm cool. Outside the gate, if anybody kills me, that's my fault. So we stay in Christ. You understand? Okay.
Amen.
God said, move on. All right. Okay. So he says, go to Noah and tell him, in my name, hide yourselves. In my other one, he says, go and in my name, conceal yourself in my name. And he says, and reveal to him the end is approaching, that the whole earth will be destroyed and deluge is about to come upon the whole earth and will destroy all that is on it. And now I instruct him that he may escape, and his seeds may be preserved for all generations of the world. Okay? So God is letting us know a flood is coming of trouble. Theirs has already happened. A flood is coming. There are Nephilim in the world. There is a war going on. And when it comes, it's going to be all over the world. Now, a couple years ago, me saying that was kind of crazy. You're like, what do you mean all over the world? Well, like the pandemic all over the world. Okay. So this is about to affect everyone. I'm going to go down to verse 9. And to Gabriel say, the Lord proceed against those. I'm not going to say the word because I got a whipping for it before. But You're born and your daddies are bad people, whatever. Okay, because somebody told me it's not a bad word, and then I said it, and I got whipped. Okay, and it's okay. So it says, proceed against them, and those reprobates, and against the children of fornication, and destroy the children of fornication, even the children of the watchers from among men, and cause them to go forth and send them one against the other, that they may destroy each other in battle. For the length of days shall not have. So God is instructing Gabriel to go forth and kill, get rid of all of the Nephilim in the world. Okay. So now the Bible says the Nephilim existed before the flood and after the flood. A matter of fact, Abraham had to fight wars and destroy. Joshua had to fight wars and destroy Nephilim, because God would tell him, when you go in here, kill the men, the women, the children, the animals. Don't leave anything. Why was he saying that? God is so cruel? No, they have all of them are Nephilim gene pool. Get them out of the earth. They don't belong to me. So this war has been going on, okay? And we're in the middle of it. I want to read one more thing. Okay, here it is. It says, and now, this is chapter 15, verse 8. And now the giants who are preceded from the spirits of flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth. And on the earth shall be their dwelling. They live here. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies, because they are born from men and from the holy watchers. Is the beginning of their primal origin, half human, half angels. They shall be evil spirits on the earth, and evil spirits shall they be called. As for the spirits of heaven are in heaven, and their dwelling is there. But the spirits of the earth, which are born on earth, their spirit shall be on earth. And the spirit of giants, and the spirit of the giants afflict these evil spirits, these Nephilim. They afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless hungry and thirsty, and cause offense. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against the women, because they have proceeded from them. So they are here to war against who? You. To battle against who? You. They want your mind. They want your thought pattern. They know that salvation has been paid for in Christ. They were here when he was here. They saw him. They bowed down. They said, oh, please, can we go jump in the pigs? Just don't torment us before it's time. So somebody who knows who's boss, okay? And now you are in this battle, and these spirits are here to cause conflict on the earth. The Lord wanted me to show you something. Okay. Remember 9/11? How many people died in 9/11? 2,996 died in that tower. 9/11. What is 9/11 based on? Revelation 9/11. If somebody, I'll go to it. I'll read it. Revelation 9/11. Somebody tells me what it says when you get to it. Then I'll repeat. Then I don't have to run to it. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Read out loud.
And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath the name Apollyon.
All right. That's why you have Apollo 13, okay? They're naming things after their god, which is Satan, but they have different languages, so they name them after these different languages. But they have a king over them, and he's the king of what? The abyss. Okay? And it's Revelation chapter 9:11. Why is Revelation 9:11 this? 11 is the number of confusion in the realm. It is Babylon. It is confusion. 11 is when Satan does a lot of things. All you got to do is say disasters that happen on the 11th in history, and then punch it in, and you'll go, you'll see almost everything that's happened has happened on the 11th. So I don't really, it's hard for me to deal with people who don't take Jesus serious, because these are the same people when they're in Hades goes, but why? But nobody told. Yes, somebody told you. Somebody told you to take it serious. You knew, but you didn't take it serious. You like Lot's nephews. Hey, the place is about to get destroyed. Let's get out of here. Good joke. All right. I'm trying to tell you, this is a serious war. You're in it. Deception is here. Okay. So 9/11 happens, 296. Now, the crazy thing is, when 9/11 happened, George Bush is sitting in a classroom, and he's saying what? He's telling the kids, okay, kids, repeat these words, plane, plane, must, hit, steal. Yeah, hooray, good, you guys did a good job. Now look under your chairs. You got a book for you. My pet goat, which is a symbol of Satan, right? He's doing this the morning before the planes even hit. Then the planes hit. Then all this death happens. And then now it's over, and they're claiming they got to go to war and fight against the Arabs who planned this, which they didn't. It was an inside job. But listen. 911 days after, you think these little Nephilim beings are counting days? Yes, they are. Why? Because they know this is what God does. They play numbers games. Skull and Bones 3:32 is just Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Man has become like us. They know to begin the meaning of evil and good and evil. They're mocking God using numbers.
Yeah.
So, March 11th. God Almighty, help me. March 11th, 2004, which is exactly 911 days after 9/11. Madrid train bombing in 2004, March 11, coordinated near simultaneous attacks targeting commuter trains in Madrid the morning of March 11, 2004. Continuing for several minutes, 10 bombs exploded on four trains and around the station and the city and the center, and 191 people died. More than 1,800 people were injured. Occurring just 3 days before Spain's general election and all this. Then you go the next year, 365 days, the next year, 365 days. And then from that September to that March 11th was 181 days, 911 days. Did they plan to do it exactly 911 days after 9/11? But see, we don't think that. Now, as humans, we go, yeah, it's just a coincidence. Because you're not watching. Because you don't think anybody's trying to harm you. So you don't stay hidden in the name. So you go places you shouldn't be. Because you don't think you're at war. And I want you to know you're at war. You understand? If you stay hidden in the name, enjoy your life, but stay hidden in the name. You don't want to fight? At least stay hidden in the name.
Amen.
Japan bombing, the one that caused the big tsunami, happened March 11, 2011. Wait a minute. What does this say? The anniversary of the COVID-19 pandemic was March 11th.
Get out of here.
Wow, I'm just wondering why they keep choosing 11, since 11 is the number of Satan and confusion, because the Twin Towers standing next to each other look like what?
11.
I see them, we're not watching. So we're just letting Satan do all this stuff, and we think that Jesus is not as important, while demons are here to afflict, oppress, destroy mankind. Are here. There are people who are Nephilim that live among us. You don't have to believe it, but I'll give you some either these people right here, some guy named Nick Jones, he's a musician. They say he's a pure Satan worshiper. Eminem, pure Satan worshiper. Lady Gaga, pure Satan worshiper. Ozzy Osbourne, pure Satan worshiper. Next to Ozzy Osbourne, you know who they put? Kirk Franklin.
No.
Has pledged himself over to satanic worship. I don't know why you guys are surprised. If you're a Christian and you're doing a song with Kanye West and you're promoting them, you might have switched teams. But I just want you guys to know and understand, you keep your eye on Jesus because they create celebrities. And if you see your favorite celebrity not acting like Jesus, he then becomes not your favorite celebrity. I ain't say nothing about LeBron James because my wife loves the Lakers, but he ain't no good. But I don't trust him. I'm just saying I don't trust him. He's not on the list, though.
Still hope.
Still hope. But they got some people that he met with were on the list.
Uh-huh.
But some guy named Trent Reznor, I don't know who that is. Nicki Minaj, she's on the list big time. But Tasha Cobb did a song with her. So until Tasha Cobb repent, I ain't listen to no Tasha Cobb music. But some of her music is so, I don't want to hear no Tasha Cobb because she's doing music with Nicki Minaj, and Nicki Minaj, they got her on here as one of the best.
What?
She does everything for Lucifer. Beyonce,
Angels.
Jay-Z, Rihanna. They say the number one is Madonna.
I believe it.
She says she's as close to being the top princess of Satanists of any, right? But you guys, but see, they make them celebrities so you'll listen to them, and then you get programmed by what they tell you. So they put music out, and then you're singing the music, and then you think about what you're singing, and you go, that's not a very godly song, but the beat is nice, so who cares, right? So Satan understands how to program human beings. How do you program them? With music. And so all of this stuff is going on in our world. Kanye West, of course, is on here. And he comes out with a Christian album, and everybody says, Kanye trans, he gave his life to Christ. And he got a new album out. And everybody, people were arguing over whether Kanye really converted. I said, y'all done lost y'all minds. First of all, he goes to a church, and then he does his new music thing. Then after that, he goes with his brother-in-law. I don't know what his name is, but he's with the other sister. And both of them on stage using all kind of profanity. Then 2 weeks later, he goes to Joel Osteen Church, and he talks about Jesus again. Then he goes to another concert, and he's cursing like a bean, right? So I'm like, are we not watching this side? Are we just listening to the lie?
Mm-hmm. Wow. 10 minutes, man.
Praise God. Watch riots started 8/11. Swine flu in Africa started 6/11. Influenza that started in 1918 that killed all those people. Guess what day it started on? March 11th. How can two of the biggest pandemics ever in the history of mankind in 1918 and 2020 start on the exact date unless somebody's doing this? But we don't look at that because we don't think that they're here. We don't think that they're planning. They got control of your money. And now they want to give you stimulus checks so you don't have to work. We'll have control of you. We'll take care of you. Don't you worry about it. You are living in a battle against spirits. You understand? And they are doing things all the time. Let me get rid of this. Psalms 22. We're going to try to finish out with this. You guys have to understand what I'm trying to tell you. My son says, hey, Dad, I'm just going to watch from home today. That's a trick of the enemy. Because forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner have some have. But I can see Satan slipping in, going, I know you're on time for work and you do all this, you know, on time. But don't worry about church. Now, I don't want to force anybody to go to church. You got to go to church, and Jesus got to be real for yourself. Yeah. So I would never enforce anyone. My mom asked me, you want to go to church anymore? You're 15. I said, nope. And so I'm telling you, you can't force people to do things, but you got to teach them that Christ has to be the most significant thing in your life. You understand? I can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to make it your discipline to stay hidden in his name.
Amen.
And so God wants us to be assembled together. Why do you think that that's the first thing they attacked?
First thing.
When Trump told the churches that they could go back to church, the guy from overseas says, oh, they're madder than they ever been. He could have done anything but do that. He said, I thought maybe he was with them until he did that. He said they are so mad at him right now for telling people they can go back to church. That was one of the attacks. You can't pray. You can't sing praises. You can't be in his presence. So I'm just saying, look, understand, Jesus has to be important to you. I'm laying it out there because all of the 11 that I just named to you, I can name to you 40 more bombings, shootings, all these things that have happened. One rapper does a video with 12 skeletons in the theater, and they all have numbers on it, so you know it's 12. And what are they there to see? Batman. Batman comes out, and a gunman who just happens to come in there and kill 12 people in the theater, right? On the 11th.
On the 11th.
But it's like, oh, you know, that wasn't an accident. What was his name? You know, you guys don't know which rapper that is? I don't know. I can't remember them all now. But he did it. I could pull it up for you and show you. But somebody's planning it, and they're planning it on satanic days. Now, the Lord said, show you this. There's a commercial. Okay? There is a commercial. Heineken.
Yeah.
Okay? A guy goes into the building, and he's going to a party. He's all dressed up, very sophisticated. He gets to the door, and it's room 6. So he says, oh, this is where the party is. He goes into the party, but it's not a sophisticated party. It's a wild, crazy party. They realize he's not supposed to be there. As he's standing at the door, the camera is making sure behind him, the apartment behind him is apartment 11.
Yep.
They kick him out. You see the 11 again, and he realizes, oh, I was in the wrong apartment. And he turns it up, the 6, up to a 9. And he goes, oh. Then November 11th, which is the 11th month, at 6 in the morning, on the 9th, they start burning down all of the buildings in Northern California, all of the homes. And then they said, this is the weirdest fire we have. It's burning up iron. It's so hot. This is an attack. This is a Nephilim attack. So you guys have to understand something. Only Jesus can save you out of this. How many people died in World War I? 20 million. How many people died in World War II? 85 million. You think they didn't start those wars? Yes. You think they didn't create that bomb that landed You think that bomb killed 92 million people on one drop? Okay? You think they aren't here to oppress and to destroy mankind? Yes, they are. You know what the beautiful thing is? You can kill a body, you can't kill a soul.
That's right.
Nobody ain't winning. He's causing havoc and building up anger. God said, I have the permission to tell you this. I had a dream. I was working at Westlake Financial. And I had a dream, and I don't know how I knew it was 6 million people, but they were standing in front of the throne of God, and they were praising his name. It was 6 million of them. And I said, God, who are these people? And he said, those are the ones that went through the Holocaust. And dumb me, I'm thinking, but they didn't accept Christ. And the Lord says, you don't know what's going on here. And then I woke up. He said, you don't know what's going on. This is spiritual. You in an earthly realm, you barely even know the Bible. You don't know what's going on here. God is trying to redeem the earth and redeem as many souls as he possibly can. And demons are playing games with human lives. The worst game he's playing is he's programming you to not like God. He's programming you to try other religions. He's programming you. Why? Because he knows if you get outside of the name of God, you're unprotected. And so we don't play smart. We have to be aware and put on the whole armor so that we know what's going on. Because the sun is out doesn't mean there's not a war going on. He said, put on the whole armor every day.
Man.
Are we close to that, Pastor Ben?
Yeah.
What time? How much time we got?
About a minute ago.
Beautiful. That's all I needed, Pastor Ben. Listen to this. Psalms chapter 22. This is how it reads in Hebrew. Eloi, Eloi, lama shabbatani. It's not shabbatani. Ozevetanu. Ozeveti. Means, why have you left me? Why have you left me? My God, why have you left me? This is in Psalms chapter 22. This is not in the New Testament. That means Jesus already knew he was going to say that in a future time. Because he's writing in the book of Psalms, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Then he says, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their head. Could he have killed him at any time? That is amazing. That's amazing. It's enough to say that I'll let you beat me up so that my friend can live. But if I can do something about it, you toast. But that wouldn't have accomplished what he was there to do. It would have saved everybody then, but there's some people that are not going to be born till 1961, till 1959, till 1999, my son, till 2006. He's doing this for everyone that's going to be born at a later time so that they can say, I am not guilty of manslaughter, even though I've sinned, because I'm hidden in the name in the city of refuge. Listen to the end of this, of Psalms 22. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. You're talking about when Christ comes back, right? All of the rich of the earth will feast and worship. But all who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Prosperity will serve him. Who? Jesus. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to people yet unborn, for he has done it. You weren't even born yet. Jesus knew your name on the cross, year of birth, set out a plan for you before you were born. On the cross. He knew soldiers of Christ would be here before I was born. He's trying to save you. But the only way he can save you is that if you understand what it means to hide yourself in the city of refuge. Hide yourself in my name. Keep yourself protected from the world. You can kill a body, but you can't kill a soul. 6 million of them I saw. 6 million. He says, you don't know what's going on. This is a spiritual war. Mind your business. I know what I'm doing. You have to be raptured. You got to get out of here. You are in the way because Satan has to come out and get ready to fight. And he can't come out to fight until you get out of the way. So there must be a rapture so you can get out of the way before the real fight begins. The 7 years of tribulation will present a real fight, which one war is going to kill 1/4 of all mankind. So even if there's only 4 billion, you're talking about 1 billion people dying in a war. You're talking about some things that have to happen in the earth. This is a war going on, you guys. But every soul is precious to God. every blow that he took on the cross was because you're precious. But you don't know what I've done, how my life has been. He knew that you would have an opportunity if he stayed on the cross. So now we're in this position where God has done it. He's declared us innocent. And we come into Christ. And now we come into Christ for one purpose: to continue fighting and running our race until the trumpet blows. After the 7 years, he's coming back. We're coming back behind him. He's landing. He's destroying nations. And then we begin to sing Isaiah 14. The nations rejoice and they high-five each other. And we're talking about the wonderful things that Jesus has done. Okay? This is our future. But it's not now. So when you wake up, put on your armor. Praise God.
Amen.
Wow.